Morning. Morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I'm your overnight dude. Weekday mornings, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Friday morning. Fly Jams Friday will commence a little bit later on. We will begin the process of climbing to the top of the dummy peak as we pick the dummy of the year, and you big dummy. The finalists begin in just a little bit. Straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies. All the regular features are coming up. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text, and your Fly Jams requests coming up later on. 312-981-7200. You can check us out on Twitter. Follow us at Nick D. Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page. Over 12,500 fans on our Facebook page. We thank you for that. Most of any show on the station. Facebook.com/Nick D. Show. And there you go. Also, check out our podcast. If you can't listen live, second best way to listen to the show is via podcast. And it's free. You go to iTunes and download the Nick D. Show podcast. They will show up automatically into your device, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. And you can check out our podcast at WGNradio.com. All right. Okay. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some birthdays that you can celebrate here in January, Esmeralda.
Wonderful.
I don't think I realized this, but the January 8th, which I believe is Enjoy Hot Tea Day, which you will be enjoying hot tea. You enjoy hot tea on a regular basis anyway. I don't think you need a day to celebrate enjoying hot
Every
tea.
Every day is hot tea day.
Well, on January 8th, it is both Elvis Presley and David Bowie's birthday.
Oh.
Now, I knew it was Elvis's birthday. I guess I just didn't realize it was David Bowie's birthday. And he was born David Robert Jones, former known as David Bowie, started playing saxophone at age 13. He assumed his stage name in 66 and released his first album the next year. He continued to be a trend-setting presence in music and fashion until his death last year at the age of 69, 2 days after he released his final album, Black Star, which we were just talking about with Jim, which is a pretty remarkable record. But David Bowie, man. And then Elvis Presley. You know, Dan, take a guess how old Elvis Presley would have been on January 8th.
Let's see here. I will say 94.
82. He was only 44 when he died.
Okay.
Yeah, he was young when he died. He was 44, and he died in 1977. And, man, I vividly remember when my dad came home from work and told us that Elvis died, my mom just started crying. My mom is has always been a huge Elvis fan. And, yeah, he would have been 82 on the 8th. Before he became a worldwide superstar in the 50s, Elvis, who was born 1935 in Tupelo, Mississippi, was a shy teenager trying to find his place at his senior prom in Memphis. He told his date that he couldn't dance. Oh, well, that's a lie. Elvis could dance. He got over his shyness, and he danced his way through two episodes of the Milton Berle Show in 1956 with moves that scandalized some viewers. I'm sure you guys know the story that, like, when he was on TV, the cameramen were instructed to film him only from the waist up. Actually, from the chest up, actually. Because they used to call him Elvis the Pelvis. Because his moves were so scandalous. Like, he would move his hips and people would freak out.
I forget the name of his drummer, but his drummer would occasionally join Steve and Johnny.
Yeah.
And Johnny always used to joke that he had the best seat in rock and roll because all he did was stare at Elvis's butt.
That's great. That's true. That's true. Yeah, man. Elvis, I got to tell you. Took me a while to appreciate Elvis, and I think it was because my mom loved Elvis so much that I kind of, like, rebelled. And I was, like, at a very early age, I was into, like, Zeppelin and stuff. So I was like, I don't know, this Elvis crap. But my mom loved him and had, like, we used to play Elvis all the time. And it was a bit of a rebellion for me. But then it got to the point where I realized that Elvis Presley rules. He was indeed the king. Esmeralda, have you ever seen his 68 comeback special?
I've seen bits and pieces.
Oh, God, it's so good. It's so good. Really one of my favorite things ever and ever of things that exist ever is the 68 comeback special. Because you got to understand the timing of that. Because Elvis goes off to the army, all right? And while he's gone, the Beatles come in and basically take over. So the Beatles come in, they kind of take over, and that's the thing right now. Elvis comes back, starts making crappy movies. So for years, the Beatles are dominating. Everything is about the Beatles. Every album that the Beatles make gets better and better and better. They're pushing the boundaries. They're changing the face of music and culture. And Elvis is making, you know, roust about. And girls, girls, girls in Blue Hawaii. So by 1968, you know, when albums like this, the first Zeppelin album came out in 68, the Doors were really popular in 68. The Beatles had moved on to Pepper at this point. The landscape of music had completely changed when Elvis stopped making these really crappy movies. He spent most of the 60s making really terrible, crappy, corny movies filled with really bad songs. You know, with a few exceptions. Like Viva Las Vegas is a good movie, and some of the songs in that are great. And there are a few songs here and there throughout the movies that are good. And, I mean, he made a few, like King Creole is a good movie. Love Me Tender is good. Viva Las Vegas is good. But it's few and far between. Most of the movies that he made in the 60s were just terrible. So the whole world was changing in the world of music and world of culture, and Elvis was not on that train, man. He missed the train. So the 68 comeback special, which we had the producer of the 68 comeback special on a few months ago, talking about, and that was such a fun interview, man. Oh, we got that archived right in the podcast.
Yeah, it's part of a podcast about the variety shows and the people who created them.
The book that he helped put together. But anyway, so the 68 comeback special, Elvis needed it. And there's a reason why it's called a comeback special, because he was gone at that point. And then you watch it and you go, he's the coolest man on the planet. And just everything about it was perfect. The timing of it was perfect. Everything about that thing was perfect at a time when he needed it. And it couldn't have gone better from the first moment to the last moment. And he sings If I Could Dream. It was my favorite Elvis song of all time. My favorite vocal performance by Elvis of all time, If I Could Dream. Come on, right there, that's enough. Him with the leather outfit on and the guitar sitting around, just playing with the dudes. Come on! So then, you know, like after that, then it's like his career went down. I mean, he had this great comeback, and then like he was Vegas bound and all that. He had some hits in the late 60s, early 70s, and then it just became, you know. And I've often said this, he was offered the role that John Voight ended up playing. He was offered Joe Buck. He was offered the role in Midnight Cowboy that went to John Voight. Elvis wanted to do it, and the Colonel said no because of the gay element of the film, because there's homosexuality in the film, and the Colonel said, no, you won't do that. And I honestly think had Elvis taken that role in Midnight Cowboy, not only I think he would have been great in it. I really, really think he would have been great in it. But it would have altered his career so much so that I think he would have lived a lot longer. I don't think he would have gone down the road that he went down, you know, with all the drugs and all the other stuff that ended up killing him young. I really think he would have lived a lot longer. I think that's true. So Elvis he would have been 82 on, that would be Sunday, on Sunday. Elvis's birthday is on Sunday. David Bowie would have been 70 on Sunday. So a couple of music giants celebrating a birthday on the 8th. All right, how about the most popular guy on the planet right now, Esmeralda? Most popular guy on the planet right now was born January 11th, 1755.
Hamilton?
Exactly right. Okay. Exactly right. The most popular man on the planet was born January 11th, 1755. It's It's Alexander Hamilton. He was killed by Aaron Burr in a duel in 1804. And today, Hamilton is on the $10 bill, and he is the subject of today's hottest Broadway musical. Yeah. So there you go. You can celebrate that on January 11th. Martin Luther King Jr., January 15th. When is Martin Luther King Day? Is it actually, do they do it on January 15th? Is it on January 15th? I always thought they pushed it to February, isn't it?
I think it's a combination of what you're doing. I think it's always the Monday. The Monday closest to his birthday.
Monday closest to his birthday. Okay, so it's late January, something like that. So January 15th.
According to my Google map, Google calendar, it's the 16th.
It's the 16th. Okay, so is that a Monday?
Yes.
There you go. So it's January 16th. That'll be Martin Luther King. That'll be Martin Luther King Day. By the way, the people at the at Novak, they have got the I Have a Dream. The big I Have a Dream lights. Your mic's on. I Have a Dream light. On top of the Novak construction.
What does that consist of?
It just says "I Have a Dream." It's a huge.
Oh, that's
just
nice.
Yeah, it's just huge letters surrounded by lights that just say "I Have a Dream," and they keep that up for through Martin Luther King Day. So, Muhammad Ali, another person we lost in 2016. Muhammad Ali's birthday is January 17th. He's born in 1942. Born Cassius Clay in Louisville, Kentucky. Muhammad Ali took the name we know when he converted to Islam. The Olympic gold medalist and world heavyweight champion's career encompassed a wide range of activities outside of boxing, including exhibition matches with wrestlers and recording albums that taught kids how to prevent tooth decay. Now, we've played that here on the show many times. Rick Geezer has brought it in when he's come in for sports songs. It's Muhammad Ali versus tooth decay. He's teaching people oral hygiene from law taught to you by Muhammad Ali. Virginia Woolf was born on January 25th, 1882. The very quotable British author Virginia Woolf was educated at home with her sisters and as a child created a newspaper to write about the antics of the eight children in her family. Later, she became involved in the Bloomsbury Group. Through which she met her husband, essayist Leonard Woolf. Right. So those are just some of the birthdays that you can celebrate here in January. Yeah. All right. I think we should celebrate Elvis's birthday by everybody on the planet watching the 68 comeback special. They should just show it.
In a leather jumpsuit?
Exactly right. Something wrong with my lip. Yeah, man. it is just like the coolest thing ever. And he was so not cool then, Esmeralda. Oh, my God, was he not cool. Have you seen any of the really terrible Elvis movies?
I was watching one, but I didn't watch the whole thing. But yeah. He's like a trust fund baby in Hawaii.
Oh.
And
I think it's Blue. I think it's probably Blue Hawaii.
Probably. Yeah. He was seeing like this Hawaiian girl.
Yeah, it's Blue Hawaii. Not good. Yeah, they're really, I mean, some of them
I think he just wanted to surf all day or something.
Some of them are really funny because they're bad. So, I directed this play called GIs in Europe back in 2005. And it was written by my good friend, Mr. Scott Oaken, who also played the lead. And it was a takeoff of Elvis movies. And we had songs in it. They were, you know, the original songs that Scott composed. And they were very much similar to the kind of songs that they would do in these Elvis movies. And it's one of my favorite shows that I've ever directed. That just had so much fun. It was so hilarious. And we had a cast meeting and a cast party where we spent the entire night drinking beer and watching Elvis movies. The entire cast. Because a lot of the cast members had never seen an Elvis movie or weren't familiar with it. And we wanted to watch them because that was the style that we were shooting for. You know, it was like really corny Technicolor. And the set was one of my favorite sets. It was like this set made of these wooden planks that you could move around, and they were painted very brightly, and the costumes in the set looked like Technicolor. You know how that bright look that I'm talking about, Esmeralda, the really bright, bright reds and the bright blues and all that stuff? Because I wanted it to look like a corny Technicolor movie. And my set designer and the costume designer did a phenomenal job. This is one of my favorite shows. But we spent an entire night watching Elvis movies, and we were just falling on the floor laughing. But everybody got the style of it after that. We watched a bunch of them. God, some of them are so bad. Oh, man. And this, you know what? One of my favorite things about it, if you're ever up one night and there's an Elvis movie, and you know what? They're probably going to run some movies, right? You would imagine. On Sunday, there might be a marathon on some channel. Maybe TMC is going to do something.
Right, for sure.
Maybe Saturday night leading into Sunday, they might have some sort of Elvis, a marathon or something. And my favorite things, Esmeralda, if you're ever going to watch an Elvis movie, the best stuff is when they segue into the songs. Like the dialogue that leads into the songs are always hilarious. Like there's a, I can't remember what movie it's in, but one of the songs is called "I Was Almost Always True to You." I was almost always true to you. And he's singing it while he's driving in a car with the chick. They're in a convertible. And it's got that fake background, you know, where the road is behind you, but they're clearly not driving, and it's a film of a road behind them. And I was almost always true to you. So the lead into the song was I guess she picks him up from the airport. Maybe she's driving and he's in the passenger seat. She picks him up from the airport and he's been away for a while. And then she's like, "Hey, listen. Johnny," because his name was always like Joey or Johnny or Rocky or something, you know, it was always those kind of names. "Listen, Johnny, were you true to me?" And then Elvis goes, "Well, almost." And then ding, 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 "I was almost always." It's like that's the kind of dialogue that they would set up the numbers, the music for. Ridiculous. All right. Okay, we got a break. When we come back, I'll tell you a little bit about my Tuesday night screening of a great film called Children of Men. Morning. Hello, everyone. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here until 5 o'clock. After the 3:30 news, we are going to start chipping away at the dummies until we have a dummy of the year. That's coming up. And then straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, and we'll bust out a Fly Jams Friday for you. DJ Shagru, Viggity Viggity Vic, Verified Double V, and, of course, Esmeralda the Heart Melda, and me, Wiki Wiki Nicky, ready to go. So, all right, I just wanted to mention really quickly, one of my favorite movies of the past 15 years or so, I'm honored to host a screening of, actually past 17 years now that we're in 2017, is a film called Children of Men. And if you have not seen it, you should, and seeing it on the big screen is amazing. It's directed by Alfonso Cuarón, who went on to direct Gravity, and he did Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. He did Ita Mama Tambien. He's a phenomenal filmmaker, and this is, I think, the best movie he's ever directed. It takes place in the future, only 10 years in the future at this point. When the movie came out in 2006, it was 20 years in the future. It takes place in 2027, and the plot in this film is that women can no longer have babies. Women can no longer get pregnant. And the youngest person on the planet has just died, was killed, and he was only 18, and that was the youngest person. So there's no hope for the future. It's a very dystopian future. Clive Owen plays this former radical rebellion guy who is brought in by this group led by Julianne Moore. Because there is a young woman who is indeed pregnant, and they want to make sure that she gets safe passage out. And so he is reluctantly brought into this situation to try and find her papers to get her out of England into a safe place where they can have the baby and then maybe restart the planet and restart the future. It is a remarkable piece of work. It is, having watched it now, I hadn't seen it in a couple of years, and having watched it now, and it takes place 10 years from now, it's startling how it's startling how the possibility of this might happen. 10 years ago when Idiocracy came out, we were all like, "Oh, that's ridiculous." And now it's like, well, really, it's not, because it's kind of coming true right now. And this feels the same way. It is a remarkable piece of work, exciting and thrilling action sequences that are among the best ever filmed, so beautifully shot with these exquisite, complicated long takes, single camera long takes that are just mind boggling. Great performances by everyone involved, Clive Owen, Julianne Moore, Michael Caine, one of Michael Caine's best roles ever. It is a great piece of work, a great piece of science fiction, a very prescient film, incredibly well made, exciting, filled with action. It's imaginative and smart. It is brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. It was my second favorite movie of the decade after 25th Hour. One of the best movies without question, one of the very best movies of the aughts, and one of the best movies I've seen in the past 17 years. And on the big screen, it's going to be remarkable to see. And if you've never seen it, unbelievable. If you've only seen it on a small screen, seeing it on the big screen is the way that this movie is meant to be seen. So please come on out. It's this Tuesday night at the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont, Children of Men. It's only $10 to get in. Parking is free. You can have dinner at 7 o'clock, and then the movie starts at 8. I'll introduce it, then we'll talk about it afterwards. And it's just part of the Nick DiGilio Film Club. We are now in our sixth year, and I'm really thrilled to show this one. This is one of my very, very favorite modern movies, and it's a remarkable piece of work that needs to be seen. It's a movie that's as vital now as ever an important film to see in this day and age. So make your reservations now at Carmike.com, C-A-R-M-I-K-E. C-A-R-M-I-K-E, Carmike.com. Let's pack the place on Tuesday night for this remarkable movie, Children of Men. Starts at 8. Parking is free. Only $10 to get in. Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont this Tuesday night. I hope to see you there. Carmike.com. All right, we got a break. We'll come back. The news, and then we'll pick a dummy of the year slowly. We'll pick one dummy this morning. Here we go.